What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. It's time to bring the college football top 25 picks against the spread to a close by picking the conference championship games. Kyle, welcome. Let's make money one more time.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm just glad rivalry week is over.
Yeah, that was a shithole just like we thought it would be.
Terrible,
I think we played too much. We played too much into it, to be honest with you, man. Like, I gave too much credit to bad teams to be able to do something good because it was rivalry.
I don't think we did because I'm saying you did because you didn't take Virginia. Yeah, you didn't take Virginia.
Well, but what about, okay, I bought into South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Stanford.
They were just big numbers. Yeah,
Florida State. We're
both guilty there. Okay,
yeah,
I'll give you that.
I thought bad teams would be able to come close in rivalry games. And
Hold the phone here.
Okay.
We have OSU marked as a miss for us.
This is your work.
This is a huge development, Joe. Because okay. Now suddenly, everybody's one game better.
All right. Do I have a chance at 60%? I'm right at 58.
You better sweep this week if you hope to get, because you came into last week at 59.7. And you're like, I'm coming for 60%. Yeah, and then you shit the bed, my friend. So
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. See how close I can get. I got to make some great picks today.
What was I thinking? Marking Ohio State is a loss. That was our most comfortable bet of the week.
I don't know. Do we need to check anything else here? Are we good?
Oh, I'm sitting here doing the inventory. Penn State crapped the bed, so kudos to you for getting that one right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin won. That was nice. We had a strong – it was weird. It was like the polar opposite of every other week for us, where typically we start the week strong, and then it falls off on the late games. And this was like so many, like the Friday games. We called out, there's five Friday games. We're going to get hammered on the Friday games. And we did.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one. I went 1-4 on the Friday games. You went 2-3.
Our Cavs, man.
I was so happy for him because I kind of have a soft spot for Virginia. And I wanted to see a different champion 7 years in a row from the Coastal.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And it happened. So, kudos to Bronco Mendenhall and the 9-3 UVA Cavs. You got the right to lose to Clemson on Saturday. But speaking of Friday games, the first one here is a Friday. All the rest are Saturday, though.
And it's a Pac-12 game. This is my worst nightmare.
And it's Utah, the team that lost the last time they played on a Friday to USC. We talked about that yesterday. So I don't know. What's going on here? You want to go first, second, third?
I had a better week by one game last week.
Okay, so you get to pick.
I am going to go second.
Okay, so here we go. Number 5, Utah against number 13, Oregon. Neutral site game. Where is this game? Is this at Levi Stadium?
Right.
Yeah, it sounds right. I think that's where it is. Okay, yeah, Levi Stadium. The spread is Utah is favored by 6.5. We feel like this is a win and in game for the Utes. Strong defense. I mean, defensive personnel, one of the best in the nation. And I'm really excited to see that against an Oregon team that has a really good offensive line and a potential first round pick quarterback in Justin Herbert. I like a lot of Oregon's defensive personnel. I like Diamador Lenore. I like Thomas Graham. They've got that safety that is, I think he's going to be a first-round pick next year. They got that Thibodeau or whatever his name is on the defensive line who's going to be a first-round pick next year.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Man, there's a lot of good football players in this game. I really like what Utah – I mean, obviously, they're holding opponents to 11 points a game, under 250 yards a game. They're holding opponents to under 60 rushing yards a game. I mean, this Utah defense is legit. I know Paul Feinbaum doesn't want to see him in the playoffs. I sure as hell do, because I think it's going to be fun to see how any one of those other teams, what Clemson, Ohio State, or LSU, how they go up against a really, really special defense. All right, so.
But here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Oregon's probably got the best offensive line to handle.
Yes.
What Utah brings up front. And Joe, we talked a little bit before the show about how there's only 8 games we're picking. We can get a little bit into some of the matchups. How do you think that offensive line for Oregon can help skew this potentially?
Oh, I mean, they've got Penny Sewell, is that how you say his name?
Freshman left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best offensive lineman in college football. And, you know, Bradley and I have been feasting on players lately here, pass rusher for the Utes. So that's going to be a good neutralizer there. And then, you know, you think about Jordan Scott in the middle of that Oregon, on the other side, yeah, Jordan Scott in the middle of that defensive tackle spot for Oregon. And, you know, this Utah team can really run the football. How can he impact the football game? You know, Leckie Fotu, the defensive tackle for Utah, against, you know, Shane Lemieux and some talented interior offensive linemen for Oregon. Jake Hansen's in there. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good trench game, which is not necessarily something you always say about Pac-12 football.
Right.
Time to make a pick. Touchdown game, pick. Right? So if Utah wins,
touchdown game.
Utah wins by 7, they cover. Give me the Utes. Cover 6.5 points. Utah 9-3 against the spread this year. Oregon 6-6. The over under on this game 46.5.
Oh, that's it. You just sold me, because I was really on the fence as far as like Oregon's got Justin Herbert. They've got an offensive line. They got, was it CJ Verdell, the running back there, who makes some really nice things happen with the ball in his hands. I think Oregon can score some points here. I think they can score some points relative, especially to what the rest of the Pac-12 has been able to do against Utah, with the exception of USC. But to hear that Utah is 9-3 against the spread this year,
yeah,
and Oregon 6-6,
yeah.
Go ahead, pencil me in for the Utes. If I sit here and I really think about this, I could talk myself into taking Oregon.
Yeah,
which means this is not a very high confidence spread.
I've talked myself into Oregon a lot this year, and I think I may have picked them in all 6 of those losses. So I've
stay away then.
Yeah, you know, and I think that just kind of naturally happens, right? So
you kind of get stuck with that association, that negative, that bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4, Georgia. Number 2, LSU. This is an elimination game for Georgia. Mm-hmm. If Georgia wins, they obviously will be in the playoff. LSU will probably still be in the playoff if Georgia wins.
I think so.
As long as they don't get blown out, which is very difficult to see happening.
I mean, even if they do, I don't think that'll happen, but LSU's resume is the best in college football right now.
Four wins against top 10 ranked opponents at the time of the game being played.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how you do better than that. So,
yeah. And they've got blue chip talent all over the field,
mm-hmm,
with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. Thad Moss looks like he's a player at the NFL level as a receiving tight end. Defensively, Ke'Lavon Chaisson, Stingley, Delpit, Fulton, you know, and that's just like the upper echelon players, right, that LSU brings to the table. And that's where I think this matchup gets interesting, because you think about Georgia. What is who is Georgia hanging their hat on besides DeAndre Swift? Andrew Thomas.
Well, and Swift is a little banged up right now, and George Pickens, yep, their young receiver that looks pretty promising, he's suspended for the first half for throwing haymakers at the Georgia Tech player.
Well, and I think Lawrence Cager has an ankle injury.
He's been having some problems all year with that stuff. Their identity is that offensive line. Great players from left to right.
So they're going to try and turn this into a slugfest.
Of course.
Bang heads, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type slugfest against one of the most potent offenses in college football. So to that, I say good luck. I think this spread is generous to Georgia. LSU being favored by 7 full points. I understand it's SEC. I understand very good coaching staffs on both sides of the football, or on both sides of the field, both sidelines. But I just think LSU has got too much firepower. And even if Georgia was fully healthy, I don't foresee Jake Fromm getting this offense to score enough points to even sniff pushing LSU. I think LSU wins, and I think it's emphatic.
I think what I really like about this game is I know Joe Burrow and these receivers for LSU have aced every test this year. But this is a different one. This is a unique one. I think this is a situation where this might be the best safety tandem they've played, right? J.R. Reed and Richard LeCount, two really good safeties. I mean, LeCount, I really like. And I mean, I like Eric Stokes, a cornerback. I think he's really good at man coverage.
He's young, right?
He's eligible. So
yeah, he's like a redshirt sophomore, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he's got ball skills, and I think he's really sticky in coverage. I mean, physicality was my big question mark with him, but I think that really shifted this year, especially against Tennessee. I thought that physicality was really on display, a big uptick in that from the tape that I watch over the summer to get ready for this year. So I like him, and I think he's an interesting player to watch in this game. But I think Georgia's hope here is to play clock control and try to it's one of those, it's that Dick Geron philosophy. You keep it close, run the football, try to play mistake free on offense. But I think LSU's just, I mean, they're humming, brother. I mean, they've scored 58, 56, and 50 points. 46 going back before that to Alabama. I mean, they're putting up points on everyone. And I think they had that game, in my opinion. And I think maybe in a lot of ways Georgia did last week against Georgia Tech. But kind of that game, that statement, we're going to go whip Texas A&M's ass 50-7 and leave no doubt and put everything together and put our best foot forward going into this conference championship game. I think in a lot of ways Georgia did as well against Georgia Tech. And with that, we actually picked Georgia Tech last week because Georgia hasn't been a team that's really buried anyone. And they win like 21-14, 19-13, 24-17. But they put it all together against Georgia Tech. I'm obviously not as impressed by that as I am against Texas A&M, a team that LSU beat 50-7, Georgia beat Texas A&M 19-13. So it's not that that's always translatable, but I think it means something, especially because they played each other in the last 2 weeks. I'm saying a lot of things here, but I'll tell you, I think the LSU Tigers.
Oh, you gave us a runaround for 5 minutes there.
I didn't get my takes out on the game, man. But I'm all in on Coach O and Joe Burrow and this Ooh, offense. Darn. Yeah. Wow. Was that a soundbite, or is Coach O with us here?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Joe. I'm really proud of you picking the LSU Tiger to win the SEC Championship game. Looking forward to going to play the Utah Utes and whooping their ass.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you. Yeah, so give me the Tigers here to cover. Cal, you know what I did this week? You know what I did?
What's that?
Yesterday. This might be the craziest shit I've ever done. I put money on the Miami Dolphins to cover 5.5.
Ooh-wee.
No, they gave me 5.5. They gave me 5.5 against the Jets.
Yeah.
So I just need those.
Without
Jamal Adams. So I just need those Miami Dolphins to not lose by 6 or more points. And your boy is going to make a little cash on your Dolphins. Hey, if you want to do that, if you think you know games, you feel like you like some of these spreads, go over to mybookie.ag. They let you turn your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet between the football season, NBA, and start of the college basketball season. It's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Are you tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Fins up. All right, Kyle, here we go. Feels good to be part of whatever. Is it Dolphins Nation? What do you guys call yourselves? The fish tank? What's the deal?
No, we don't have a thing.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well,
no, we need one. I know that makes us lesser fans.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the mafia.
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, when you got something great like Bill's Mafia, it's, you got to go with it. But hey, it feels good to be on the same team this week, brother. Let's go Dolphins.
Likewise, man. I can't wait. We're going to beat the Jamal Adams-less New York Jets, the Eli Manning-led New York Giants, and then the Cincinnati Bengals for a four-game win streak.
It's gonna be, these Jokers are going to be 6-10.
It's going to be weird. Tell you, 7-9 forever. It's destiny.
It is. Okay, here we go. This one's the Big 12 championship game. We've got number seven.
Glad you got this one. Good luck.
Yeah, well, you know, we've just been dynamic picking Big 12 games all year, so this one just sets it up for a great finale. Number seven, Baylor against number six, Oklahoma. The game is played in Jerry World. Oklahoma's favored by 9. Great. Baylor played Oklahoma, and Baylor lost by 3 points. They should have, but they lost by 3. And now, like, Vegas says, oh, well, they're going to play together in a month, and we'll go ahead and give Oklahoma 9 points at a neutral site when they only beat them by 3 in where did they play? In Waco? Is that where Baylor is? Think so?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
do you time out?
Yeah.
Oklahoma won this game the first time they played 34-31.
Yeah.
Do you know what the score was at halftime?
I don't.
31-10 Baylor.
Really?
Oklahoma shut them out and scored 24 unanswered points in the second half of this football game.
I think Matt Rhule's a real good football coach, man. I really do. I really do. Is that enough to keep it within 9 of Baylor? I mean, here's the thing with Baylor is, like, I don't know that they have, like, they're not brimming with NFL talent. Like, who's their guy? Denzel Mims?
Yes.
I mean, I can probably list 7 or 8 guys now for Oklahoma, right? That's going to be, like, day one, day two picks. Oklahoma's the more talented team. People think Lincoln Riley's the best coach in college football.
Best thing since sliced bread, right, brother.
They think he is. I think Jalen Hurts, some of his shortcomings are starting to manifest themselves a bit here later in the season. Am I crazy for thinking Baylor can keep this close? I mean, Oklahoma's been playing close. They played a close game to Baylor, played a close game to Iowa State, played a close game to TCU. They lost to Kansas State, and that's in their last 5 games. That's the only one I didn't mention was the rout they had over Oklahoma State last week. I think Baylor can keep it close, Kyle. Baylor's 8-4 against the spread this year. Oklahoma's 5-7. Give me the Bears to lose, but not by more than 9.
Okay. So that's on the record now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oklahoma won 34-31. The first time these two teams played, rallying from a 28-3 deficit in Waco. It's now in a neutral site game, which helps Oklahoma. Joe, I want to read you some of the stats from this first game, okay? Oklahoma had an advantage in the time of possession, 41 minutes and 11 seconds versus 18 minutes and 49 seconds for Baylor. Oklahoma had nearly double the amount of first downs as Baylor, 34-18. Oklahoma had a total yard advantage of over 220 yards in this football game, but they turned the ball over 3 times, and they played without CeeDee Lamb, who's now playing. I think you take that dominance, that talent discrepancy that you talked about, we're at a neutral site, we're not in home cooking area for Waco, and Oklahoma gets CeeDee Lamb back. And I think Oklahoma covers this 9-point spread. Give me Boomer Sooner.
Okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer. Now, we have 3 conference championship games that feature ranked opponents that are not Power 5 teams. And those 3 games are also included in today's slate. The first one is App State versus Louisiana. And App State is at home, and App State is favored by 6.5 points. Joe, this is not going to be an area of the pod that gets a lot of in-depth analysis for me, because as far as picking this line goes, App State has been extremely good to us this year.
Yep.
And I do not want to turn my nose up to that. App State covers 6.5. Touchdown game means App State covers at home in their championship game. Give me the Mountaineers.
Yeah, and App State, like you said, they're at home, and they beat Louisiana earlier in the year 17-7 at Louisiana. So bring these guys to Kid Brewer Stadium. It's going to be cold up there in the Appalachian Mountains. Those boys from those raging Cajuns from Louisiana aren't going to be ready.
How far away is that stadium for you?
Oh, it's within 2.5-3 hours. I've been, man.
Really?
Yeah, you'd love it. You'd love it. We need to go to Boone, man, next time you're around.
That's what I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm saying maybe not this time around because it's an 8-hour drive for me, but
Boone's a good town, yeah. Man. It's West Virginia like, obviously. But
yeah. Mountaineers makes a lot of sense.
They love their football over there, brother, and it's the alma mater of Luke Combs, the best artist in music right now. Whoo. Okay. Number 20, man, we have had to talk about Cincinnati every week. This is part of what we do. Cincinnati
getting real old because we're not getting it right. Too.
No, we talk about Cincinnati and Memphis every week, just like we do Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma. So here we are, number 20, Cincinnati at number 17, Memphis favored by 9. Both teams pretty good against the spread this year. Cincy 7-5, Memphis 8-4. It's a home game for Memphis. These teams played last week in Memphis, Memphis won the game 34-24 by 10. So they're just like, oh, just go play the same game again. Here's a 9-point spread. That's what Vegas did to us here, right? Memphis was able to score on Cincinnati a bit better than most of the other teams that they've faced this year.
I thought you were going to say a bit better than Cincinnati could score on Memphis. I was going to laugh my ass off.
Yeah, that would have been some great analysis. Pay me for that, Jesus. So what's hard for me is it is literally the same game in consecutive weeks. It's hard to beat the same team twice in a season altogether. I think it's probably harder to do it 2 weeks in a row and then do it by more than a touchdown. Give me the Bearcats.
Yeah, I've got a great deal of respect for Mike Norvell as a head coach there at Memphis. I think he's going to be in line here real soon for a call up. Somebody's going to come calling. His offense is very potent. But Joe, as you said, consecutive weeks, the same exact team in the same exact setting, even if Memphis wins the game, it's extremely difficult to come out and do that twice in a season, let alone in back-to-back weeks. And I do think Cincinnati will keep this a very competitive football game. I would be stunned to see Memphis run away with this game.
Amen.
Our last non-power five is Boise versus Hawaii. And Boise is favored by 14 points at home. These two teams played earlier this year, and Boise put up, I think, 59 points. It's either 52 or 59 points, which, if you're keeping score at home, is a shit ton. Hawaii is capable of scoring a shit ton of points, but they haven't exactly been – they blew out Army last week. And, Joe, you and I talked about that. Imagine being at Army at West Point, New York, and having to fly to frickin' Hawaii to play a run-and-shoot offense. That's a tough call. So I'm not going to fall into the trap of Hawaii hanging up and blowing out a typically very disciplined, very hard-nosed Army team last week, because some of the other games that they played the week before was like they beat San Jose State by 2. And they beat San Diego State by 3. Boise favored at home by 14 against a team that they clearly had a talent discrepancy against, because they beat them by like 25 points. That I'm much more comfortable with than the proposition of Memphis blowing out Cincinnati in back-to-back weeks. So give me Boise at home covering a 14-point spread.
Give me Boise. I think you did a good job summarizing, because we for some reason we decided to talk about this game for like 8 minutes before we started recording.
It's a weird draw. That's why.
Both teams average against the spread this year. They teeter on 500. I like Boise State on the blue field at home in the Mountain West cold. Championship game. Yeah, cold. The
frigid cold.
Yeah, that's a big deal there. All right, here we go. We've got two Power Five clashes to close out the picks here. Virginia, the Hoos. Congratulations to Coach Mendenhall. Taking on number 3 Clemson at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Clemson's favored by 28.5 points. Clemson's killing everyone lately, brother. They lost. They played that 1-point game against North Carolina and
haven't looked back.
No, I mean, they held Wake to 3 points. That rivalry game, Clemson's been able to score on them South Carolina's been able to score on Clemson every year. They scored 3 in Columbia. Clemson's playing real good ball, and part of what they do every year is they come play a game in Charlotte about this time of year. This is normal. This is part of their yearly routine for Virginia.
Yeah, they haven't hit the special part of the schedule yet.
No, yeah. I mean, and I've typically attended the ACC championship every year, and it's just, I just know it's Clemson versus who, right? So I think that's ingrained into this program and Dabo, and they know how to prepare for this game. Virginia's happy to be there. They're give them the participation trophy. I don't think they're going to go in there and not try to win the game, but I can't think of one area where Virginia has an advantage over Clemson. I know Bryce Perkins presents some challenges, but I mean, Clemson's going to do just fine against them. Clemson's going to cover 28.5 against Virginia in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, this is going to be like a 45-10 final.
Right, which is their typical. I mean, except for normally Clemson wins 55-10 lately.
Right. So give me Clemson as well. I don't foresee. We learned our lesson last week where everything was aligned for like, well, South Carolina, this is their going to be their Super Bowl this year and
yeah,
rivalry game. And they couldn't even move the ball. So
Clemson 9-3 against the spread this year. Virginia 6-5-1.
Okay, lock it in. Now, the last one. Last time these two teams played in the Big Ten championship game, I was there, Joe, at Lucas Oil.
Who was it last year then?
They played Northwestern, remember?
Oh, Jesus. That was really the Big Ten championship last year, Northwestern. Nightmare.
Yeah, because the Big Ten's stupid and puts their 4 best teams in the same division.
Got to preserve the rivalries, man.
Like you can't go across division play and mandate that to be one of the games you play every year. It's stupid.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, they legit have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State on a normal year, not when Mark D'Antonio decides to make his wide receivers coach his quarterback's coach. And then Wisconsin's like floating somewhere in that top 5 as like typically the second through 4th best team. But
thank God for Minnesota, right? Something yeah, reasonable in the West.
Yes. Yes. Well, here we are. And this is a rematch from the last two times that these two teams played. Ohio State thumped up on Wisconsin pretty good. And Jonathan Taylor had his worst game of the season.
Yeah.
Rushing 20 times for 52 yards. I do not see any feasible. You know, here you go. Here's a fun one for you. You know how many first downs Wisconsin had?
I'm guessing less than 10.
9.
Yeah.
You know how many turnovers Wisconsin had?
3.
2. You know how many total yards Wisconsin had?
203.
191. But they only lost the time of possession battle by 2 minutes. 32-28, or 4 minutes technically, but if you got 2 minutes back, then it's 50-50. Ohio State won 38-7 at the Shoe.
Yeah.
It was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, 10-0 at halftime. Ohio State put up 28 points in the second half. There is a 0% chance Wisconsin keeps this within 10. I'd say there's a 75% chance Ohio State wins by more than 17. The spread is 16.5, and I will take those odds every single time. Give me Ohio State in a rout.
I think this game being played indoors is good for Ohio State. More explosive on offense, right? They can hit those deep shots from you know, Fields to Olave. And there's no neutralizer. I also think about with this game, the fact that I think you want to be the one seed, you know, like I think that matters. We respect Utah, but you'd rather play Utah than Clemson or LSU in the playoffs. And
no question.
And I think the game, what the Natty's in New Orleans this year, that'd be something if LSU gets there, man.
Could you imagine?
Oh,
they'd burn the town to the ground. They'd be so fired up.
I think so. What I'm trying to get here is I think Ohio State has a lot of incentive to convincingly win this game and be the one seed. I do. I respect Wisconsin. I think they can keep it within 16 and a half of Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's been, they're 9-3 this year against the spread. Oh, Wisconsin's 7-5 against the spread. I think Ohio State's a more talented team. I think indoor helps. I think they have a lot more to lose in this game. And Ryan Day's been coaching this team to keep their foot on the throat of their opponents.
Yeah. He's been ruthless.
Give me the Buckeyes.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Wisconsin covered, what would the final score of the game be? Like, how many points would Wisconsin have to score to cover 16 and a half?
Do you think that if Wisconsin wins the game, it's because they scored enough or because their defense played really well? I think their defense has a better chance of performing well against Ohio State than I do them just an offensive explosion that Ohio State can't match.
I don't think they have the secondary. I don't think they have the horses on the second level. Listen, Chris Orr's been a good linebacker for them as a blitzer. Zach Bond as a pass rusher has been fine. But we're talking about Ohio State. We're talking about J.K. Dobbins. We're talking about Justin Fields. And Justin Fields had a scare with a knee last week. And he was out for three plays, and they put a brace on him, and he came back out, and he laced a touchdown running to his left on the very first play back in the game. So Ohio State is too dynamic for a blue-collar, stereotypical Big Ten defense.
Wisconsin's going to have to get to at least 30 to beat Ohio State.
And there's a 0% chance that happens.
Right. They got
unless
seven.
The defense scores a touchdown and they hit like two deep shots that they have not hit all year.
Ain't hitting them. Not happening. Quintez Cephas is an interesting receiver that he made a couple
good, like him.
Yeah, he made some plays down the middle of the field last week against Minnesota. But I mean, last time these teams played, Wisconsin got to 7 points.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for us. Hopefully that's going to end us on a really strong note, picking against the spread. Joe, the only game we have different right now is Oklahoma and Baylor. Would you like to change any games?
I sort of do, but I'm keeping it.
Just let it ride for something interesting, right?
Yeah, I can get behind rooting for Baylor.
Okay. Well, guess we'll find out. That'll be the one game different, which means we are generally on the same team this weekend. Joe's hitting about 58% of his bets. I'm hitting about 54 if you round up. The percentages that we had were based on me erroneously marking us missing the Ohio State game for some reason. So, strong year for the brand with the betting, Joe. I'm really proud of the effort we put forth this year.
Yeah, and I mean, next year, if I don't get to 60, I think I need it next year.
That's something to work for. Yeah. I hope you stay hungry. Oh. We got to do – when we're done here, I'm going to do the math, and I'm going to tell you what you need to happen to get to 60%.
I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to get 60% of my picks right.
That's it. We're done. Thanks for listening, Draft Dudes. Come back and see us tomorrow. We're going to preview NFL Week 14 action. Looking forward to a good weekend of NFL games. We've got the Dallas-Chicago game. Both teams 6-6 tonight. We'll have some reactions to that as well. Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.